Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'll be reading two verses there, Deuteronomy 1 and 2. Just getting familiar with your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then you'll come to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 1. If you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. I'll read Deuteronomy 1, verse 1, if you'll join me on verse number 2 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to open up this good book. How good you've been to us, and Lord, we're open to hear from our preacher this morning. The Holy Spirit power will come upon him. Lord, I pray that you'd pour that fresh oil back on him this morning as he mounts the pulpit. Lord, help us to have listening ears and open hearts. We'll give you all the praise and glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
I thought it might be in my name, a shining legacy. I thought it might be in a goal for success to follow me. I thought it might be in a plan to sail across the seas. But I didn't find what I really need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve the risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I'm letting go of all my ways that I think are best for me. I'm laying down all my ideas of what I think my life should be. I'm leaving everything I am right at Jesus' feet. For it's here I find everything I need. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve the risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I lost everything and gave my life to serve the risen King. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found the truth that I've been searching for. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all when I found the Lord. I found it all.
Thank you, Tony. Great song this morning, and so good for the occasion. Now, I'm reading my Bible on my trip. I take a vacation away from the area, the church ministry, as far as being here, but I never take a vacation on the Lord. Amen. So I'm reading my Bible and come across this chapter, chapter 1, book of Deuteronomy, and verse number 2, which is in parenthesis in your Bible. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. So why didn't you read verse number 1? I can't pronounce the words as good as Brother Bragg did. Amen. So it would be embarrassing if I did that. So he did it a good job. He nailed it, didn't he? Amen. He found that website, how to pronounce Bible terms and Bible names. That's what it was. And but no, that verse 2 got my wheels to turn and got my heart stirred. And so this has probably been in the works here for about, 13 days or more. And I want to speak to you on the subject, away with wandering. Away with wandering. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great song we just heard from Brother Tony. And truly, you came looking for us and calling us to salvation. And Lord, how we found everything when we got saved. And so we're grateful for your grace and your mercy. There might be somebody here today that needs to be saved. Lord, that's trying to find the answers in life. And I pray that they'll look this morning to the Lamb of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us today in your word. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for every soul here. Bless those who are away with safety and journeying mercies. But for these moments, may you help our time in this auditorium to be well spent. And give us your grace and help and power in Jesus' name. And amen. To be close to something that we are in pursuit of and yet not be able to seal the deal, if you'll let me say it that way, can be really disappointing. That's in many areas in life. I am sure in the area of business, to be so close to a contract or to some big deal and to be so close to it only to have it fall apart in the last moments at the negotiating table would have to be very disappointing. A way of life, but nonetheless disappointing. It's true about athletic contests when a team is trying to maybe upset the one who's supposed to win. When the David is going up against the Goliath and there's not much chance for victory and you get so close and yet you're not able to seal the deal, to get the thing accomplished. What I do for a hobby, the pursuit of a deer in the woods, and how many times for those of you that hunt have we been so close to bringing home an animal with a legal kill, and yet as happens so often, they get away, and that's why it's called hunting and not getting. Amen. And so academic achievement is the same way, to be so close to the GPA and miss it by .0, the salutatorian, is that the, or the valedictorian, the highest GPA, to miss it by .0001 or something like that. I guess in the past you've heard the terminology close only counts in hand grenades and atom bombs, and I guess that's true. Now, as the book of Deuteronomy begins, God reminds Israel through His servant Moses, and He's talking to you and me because it's recorded here for us so that we can read it and learn from it. So God is telling Israel, reminding them how close they were to the promised land not long after they exited Egypt. Now, the book of Deuteronomy is sometimes called the second law, Deus. Deuteronomy. Deus means two, okay? The children of Israel received the law from God through Moses on Mount Sinai almost 40 years previous to when Moses gave it to them again in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, at this time, they are preparing to go into the promised land. They're going to get in there. The land that God gave them when He established His covenant with Abraham. Now, I'm going to hit the pause button. I'm not jumping on a soapbox, and I'm not going to make it a common theme all the time, but I feel a responsibility as a pastor of a New Testament church to always speak the truth when it comes to social issues. And you can't pay attention to the news at all these days without reading about Israel and Hamas and the invasion into Gaza and so forth and so on. Now, folks, I don't care how the media twists and turns that. That is Israel's land, as promised by God. Okay? They are not occupying Palestinian land. They are living in their land. And I'm going to tell you something. They have every right to defend themselves from rockets by air and suicide bomber terrorists who come like rats through the ground to bomb their kibbutzes and their villages and take their people captive and kill them. You know, if Rensselaer, Indiana, was lobbing bombs into Illinois, we wouldn't just take it. We wouldn't take it. And thankfully, I guess at least one person of renown in the media has stepped out in favor of Israel. And that's. But I'm going to tell you something. Worldwide, they're against Israel. And now they're saying, well, you should have shared that Iron Dome technology with the Palestinians. Excuse me? Share technology with your enemy who has sworn your destruction? Cuckoo! I hear the cuckoo clock. Cuckoo! That's nuts. And that's Bible truth, okay? Now, every other nation would defend itself. If France started lobbing bombs into Germany or England, they would defend themselves and everybody would be okay with it. So as God's people, we got to stay on the right side of social issues, okay? Social issues. Now, that's it. We'll hit the play button. Okay. So, now, they're preparing to go into the land that God gave them. And so, God is going to give them the law. Deuteronomy is a duet of the law. Deuce. Second law. It's the second giving. By the way, I don't have time to tell you all about this, but you take the book of Deuteronomy sometime and study it. Because it is a book, for a nation. And you want to see how a nation should be organized and set up and run and how God would bless it, you read the book of Deuteronomy. And anyway, that's another matter altogether, but I'm back on play here. Okay, now, so in verse number 1, he tells us that Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, okay? In verse number 2, you got a parenthesis, and God says there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Now, what is this about? What is this parenthetical verse all about? All right, number 1, Horeb is the mountain range where Sinai is located. Horeb is this large mountain range in Israel, okay, extends several miles, and Sinai is one of the mountain peaks in that range. We went through part of the Smoky Mountains on vacation. There are several mountains within the range known as the Smoky Mountains, okay? That's what Sinai is. That's what Horeb is. Sinai is where God gave the law to Moses and the children of Israel the first time, book of Exodus. Chapter 20 and following, okay? Now, Kadesh Barnea, you see that at the end of the verse. Kadesh Barnea is the doorstep of the Promised Land. It was a city located on the doorstep of the land of Canaan, right there on the border, okay? Almost like Moments would be on the border over here, just almost on the border of Indiana-Illinois line, okay? So, now, then at the end, the middle of the verse, the way of Mount Seir. Mount Seir is the route that the children of Israel took from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. So get the picture. God gave the children of Israel the law the first time on Mount Sinai. And then they journeyed from there to Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. It would be like going from Bourbonnais to Danville by way of Champaign, Illinois, okay? Right down 57 to 74, Champaign, Urbana, and then east over to Danville. And they were given the law on Mount Sinai, and they went by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now listen, it took a group of people the size of the children of Israel 11 days of steady walking to go from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. It took them 11 days of steady walking to go from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. Now, you say, well, listen, Brother Angel, I've read the Bible and it took them, there was more than 11 days' journey. Yes, it took them more than 11 days because they stopped in one place for a month, then they stopped in another place for a week. So it took them, but traveling time, it's 11 days' journey. You MapQuest a route somewhere from point A to point B, they're going to give you driving time. Okay? That's not stopping for the bathroom, depending on how many females are in the vehicle with you. Amen? And, or getting snacks. We were headed back, and I think we gassed up the final time down here in Central Illinois, and there's this young adult man there, and it's obvious he is dressed for, you know, vacation, and he's got this boy with him, and I'm not kidding, folks, it's a gas station. He's got like 6 bags of chips. It looks like he picked up a box of everything off of the Little Debbie rack. He had oatmeal pies. He had Swiss rolls. He had Nutty Bars. He had all stacks of it. He had drinks everywhere. And she said, wow, are you having a picnic? He said, no, a long road trip, and I ain't stopping. And he had all that stuff. And I said, amen, there you go. That's travel. And so he had all this stuff. And so, but when you MapQuest something, they're going to take, well, it takes you 10 hours to drive there. That may take you 13 to get there by the time you stop for gas a couple times and eat a little bit, maybe get out of the rest area and walk around. It was 11 days walking time from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. In other words, now this is critical, from the time the children of Israel got the law the first time to being in the promised land was a very short distance. It was a very short distance. It was only 11 days journey from where they got the law to where should have gone into the promised land. Only 11 days. Now look at verse number 3. If you got your text open, look at verse number 3. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on that first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel. 40 years have passed. 40 years have transpired since God gave them the law the first time, and now they're ready to go into the promised land. 40 years later. 40 years. They were at the doorstep of the promised land in a very short period of time. But they did not go in. And it cost them 40 years of wandering all throughout Mount Horeb mountain range. 40 years of wandering for 40 years. That's not symbolic. That is literal. 40 years they wandered from place to place, never having a home, their intended destination. And they were so close to being there 11 days after they got the law the first time. How do you turn 11 days into 40 years? But that's exactly what they did. Now, here is the application of this story for you and me, because everything that is written in the Old Testament is for our admonition. Our learning something from. So here's the application. A person in this New Testament day and age gets saved. And then they start out on a journey of growth that should result in a joyful, victorious, fruitful, full Christian life. Now look, if you've never been saved, the journey doesn't start until you get saved. It can't begin until you get saved. That's being born into God's family by trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't understand all that. The Bible says the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. When a person trusts in what Jesus did on Calvary to atone for their sin, God has enough power to birth you into His family through that the faith that you exercise in what Jesus did on Calvary. You with me this morning? Now look, your journey can't begin until you get saved. That is not a hokey-dokey term. That is a biblical term. It's salvation. It's called redemption. It's called atonement. There are a lot of terms that all apply to the same thing. But your journey for God cannot begin until you're birthed into God's family by way of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Because you can't add a thing to it. And you can't take anything away from it. And it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. We have the attitude, people take the mental approach today that, you know, well, I know to believe that, God's going to have to write it in the sky. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He's not going to do that. He's not going to write it in the sky. He already wrote it 2,000 years ago on Calvary. His son died. Well, I just can't believe it. You know what? I'm sorry. Two things wrong with that. First of all, you can believe. Second of all, if you don't believe, you'll never be a Christian, because Christianity is a life of faith. A life of faith. That's where the journey begins. It begins with salvation, okay? Now, after a person is saved, for me, October 15th, 1975. For many of you, you have a time when you got saved. From that moment on, we embark on a journey that should end in a joyful, full Christian experience. And God wants that for everybody, no matter the age when you get saved. If you get saved as a child, a teenager, or an adult, you start on a journey It ends, it's supposed to end in a joyful, victorious, fruitful, full Christian experience. That's not 40 years away. It's 11 days away. It's not 40 years away. It's only a short time of growth, a short distance after being saved. But sadly, some of God's people in this New Testament day and age are doing exactly what the children of Israel did thousands of years ago, wandering in a spiritual wilderness, never entering the promised land of the Christian life. The full Christian experience. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not 40 years after you get saved. It's only 11 days. And I'm using 11 days as, what's the word? Illustration? I don't mean, okay, I got saved on the 10th of the month, so that means the 21st, I'm there. No. 11 days means it's a short ways. Listen, my first week we spent in South Carolina at my brother's house. He wasn't there, just he opened the house and gave us everything like they always do. Bless his heart, and the boat and all. And our kids were there, stateside kids were there, and grandkids. We had a great time. But then on the next week, we went to Florida to see my folks. Cherith was going to spend a week with them. I needed to check up on my dad. Some issues there with his health, and I just needed to be there for a couple of days to kind of see for myself. Well, that took us through Georgia. That took us through Atlanta. We ate at the Varsity. Hey. And we also went to Tomahawk Atlanta Braves Stadium. Amen. It's where winning baseball is played. Unlike, what's that place up north? Was it Wrigley? Anyway, where winning baseball is played. And so we took in the baseball game. But then, going through Atlanta, all the memories and boyhood and childhood and all those things come back, and fried apple peach pies and all those good things. And so it brought to my mind, my family. And I remember Pawpaw, Meemaw. And I talked about Meemaw 3 weeks ago. Pawpaw was her husband. And, he didn't get saved till he was age 52. You talk about a rough character. Oh, my goodness. Alcoholic. Traveling hospital cells. Back in the days when the guys put the hospital things, utensils, and the things that they need for hospital, put it in the vehicle and drove from hospital to hospital to hospital and selling those things. We'd get money, cash money, and have it spin up drinking by the time they got done for the week. We'd go home penniless on Saturday. That was my grandmother's existence. Had DTs. At one point in time, tried to jump out of a motel window because he thought creatures were after him. Delirious tremens. A drunk. An alcoholic, as my grandfather. He got saved at age 52. He died at 58. He was saved for 6 years. Now, friend, if it takes 40 years for somebody to get, once they get saved, to enjoy the full Christian experience, my grandpa didn't have that long. But it doesn't take 40 years. And he died a happy and fruitful and victorious Christian. And guess what? He got there in 11 days after he got saved. You mean you count one, two? No, I mean a short distance. A short time after he got saved. Remember, 11 days I'm using to illustrate that it's a very short, it doesn't have to be, I've been saved for 20 years and I'm trying to get to the full Christian experience. No, it's a very short distance for somebody when they get saved to enjoy the full Christian life. It's possible to do that. But I'll tell you what, it's also possible. It's possible to turn 11 days into 40 years. It's possible to turn 11 days into 40 years. In fact, it's possible to turn 11 days into a lifetime of never enjoying the fullness of the Christian life. Never. Pastor, would you explain the fullness of the Christian life? What do you mean by that? I mean answered prayer. I mean where you pray and God answers. Answered prayer. Being used to influence another person for Christ. Where your witness, your testimony, a gospel tract, a Bible verse you share with them to bring, they got saved. Your influence to bring somebody to Christ. That's the full Christian experience. Getting victory over sinful habits of the flesh and spirit. Excuse me. Flesh and spirit. I'm talking about the sin. Now, wait a minute. When God saved us, He didn't save us just to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Thank God He did. We're not going to hell. Amen. Which is the penalty for sin. But He saved us to have victory over the power of sin. Which means I don't have to live under sin's domination anymore. You see, I can't go through Atlanta, Georgia without that part of it coming back as well. That I lived under the domination of sin's oppression as a lost person. When I got saved, God delivered me from that as well. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking that full Christian experience, growing in your understanding and knowledge of Scripture, walking in the light of Holy Spirit control and fullness where the Spirit of God works in your life. I'll tell you what, you want the full Christian experience? Read John 14, 15, and 16. That's the full Christian experience. The full Christian experience. And too many of God's people dwell. They're stuck in an existence of wandering around saved, but not enjoying the fullness of the Christian experience. Wandering, and I say this morning, away with wandering. Away with it. And no doubt that's where some in this church membership are. You're stuck. Stuck. I'm not mad. No way, shape, or form am I mad. In fact, there's no answered prayer if there's any prayer. There's no answered prayer. There's no influence on anybody else. Still in bondage to sins of the Spirit or flesh. No growth in God's Word, God's will. Stuck. I want to tell you something. As your pastor, I have a vested interest in your Christianity. I have a vested interest, not to speak of the interest that God has. God Himself. But as your pastor, I have an interest, a vested interest in your spiritual life. And I long for the people of Faith Baptist Church to enter into the fullness of the Christian experience that God wants everybody to have. I don't want to see people wandering. I want to see people entering into the promised land, if you will, the fullness of the Christian experience. And I know, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've been here a short time or a long time. It doesn't matter if your name is well known or unknown in our church membership. It doesn't matter if you sit in the front or in the back or in the corners or in the balcony. It doesn't matter. I have a vested interest in you. Now, sometimes you think I don't, but hardly a Sunday passes here when I'm here when I don't know who was in church and who wasn't. I can get it almost in a glance. And I don't understand it all, Brother Gellis. My mind can't wrap around everything, but to some degree, according to Hebrews 13, I am accountable for the spiritual well-being of these people. I'll give an account someday before God. And that works on you. So I have a vested interest. Not in the number, not in the size of the offerings, but in you. In you. That you, each one, experiences that fullness. You know, some people just wander from church service to church service. Now, I'm really talking about far more than just showing up for a service. A lot of people just wander from church service to church service, week to week, and the weeks turn into months, and the months turn into years, and the fullness of the Christian life is only 11 days away after you get saved. But it's 40 years in getting there. In fact, some never get there at all. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what you're really talking about. God's sure been good to me, man. He's met my needs and taken care of me. And provided, yes, and He did that for the children of Israel. Didn't He? He fed them. He watered them. He kept their clothes and shoes from wearing out for 40 years. But is that all it's about? Is that good enough? That our needs are met. Is that good enough? What about what God wants? What about what makes Him happy? What about what makes Him pleased? This full Christian experience. I'm not talking about a sinless, failure-free life. No. Failure's part of it. Quitting is not. 11 days away. 11 days away. Look down at verse number 6. Look at what God told him. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb. This is Moses saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Hey, that was then. That was 40 years earlier. You've been on this side of Canaan long enough. How do you think God felt after 40 years? Are you all with me this morning? Okay? You've dwelt there long enough. Okay, you've come out of Egypt. You have my law. Now let's go. That was God's will 40 years earlier, and it was still God's will in the second law, in Deuteronomy, Deuce, the second giving of the law. Get over into the land of Canaan. And guess what? They would do it, wouldn't they? Away with wandering. Now, okay, Pastor, you've nailed it down pretty good. Christian, full Christian experience. It's not supposed to take 40 years to get there after you get saved. So what do I do? I'm glad you asked. Amen? I'm going to fill up the next about 10 minutes answering your question. Number one, realize the potential. Realize the potential. Are you still breathing? Are you still breathing? Are you alive? Do you have life and breath this morning? If so, as a child of God, you are still eligible for the fullness of the Christian life. You can have it. And it's not 40 years away. It's a short distance. Realize the potential. You know, the promised land had not moved. It was the same boundaries as before. It was fixed. The promised land didn't move. The children of Israel moved. And the full experience of Christian life is there. It's not like something you long, you up and up and oops, and now it's over here, whoop, now it's over there. No! It's fixed. It's 11 days away. If you're alive, you're breathing, you're saved, you can still get there. Realize the potential. Who convinced you? Who convinced you it's not possible? Who told you, yeah, you've heard this type of message before, and what he's preaching about is not for you? Who told you that? Because whoever that is a liar. Could be Satan, who's the father of all lies. Might be somebody else who convinced you that it's not possible. You should know this, that the first time when they got the law, and then they went the 11 days journey, and they're on the border of the promised land, ready to go in, 10 men. Now we're talking about 2 to 3 million people. 10, think about that percentage, brother. What is that? 10 out of 2.5 million. Where's Dave Gardner when you need him? Or Ira, man. 10 men. Influence that whole crowd to turn back. 10 negative influences. Influenced 2.5 to 3 million people not to go in on the doorstep of the promised land. I don't want to be one of the 10. I want to tell you, are you alive and breathing and saved? It's never too late to get into the promised land of the Christian life. Get there. Get there. Come on. Get there. It's only 11 days away. We have people in this church. In fact, some are in this room and some are not in this room because they're busy serving the Lord somewhere else. I'm talking about on the property in the Sunday school. Saved, but it took them a while to get to the promised land. It took them a lot longer than 11 days. But they got there. They got there. And today, they are experiencing the fullness of the Christian life that God wants everybody to experience. If you're saved this morning, and you're wandering from church service to church service. See, this is more, folks. This is more than just about going to church. I'm for that. We're talking about a walk of Christian experience and joy and fullness. It's 11 days away. Realize the potential. It's a short ways out. You can get there. Number two, what do I do, Pastor? Step out in obedience. Well, you mean I gotta obey? Yeah. You see, your decision to get there, okay, you know what? And by the way, I understand the potential in sermons and preaching like this, that, you know, it can become an emotional thing, and I'm going to get there, but you got to put some feet to that emotion. You got to put some legs to that emotion. You have to take the steps of obedience. What are we talking about? Simplistic. Are you saved? Get baptized. Get baptized. That's the first step. Get baptized. Join a good Bible preaching church. Start reading your Bible. Start learning God's will. Start praying and to specific things, specific prayer requests, and then asking God for help. And, well, Pastor, you didn't even mention come to church. You can't take that out of the equation. But that's our problem. We've fallen into the ritual of going to church. And we're still years away. Is that true? Step out in obedience. Look at verse number 26. Look at what God told them. In this whole chapter, man, it's just... You got to set out on a journey in the month of August, or on into the third day, to read the entire book of Deuteronomy. It is a fascinating book. Look at verse 26. He's talking about the first time they came to Kadesh Barnea. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. They disobeyed. They disobeyed. You got to step out. You have to follow directions. Hey, how many times have we purchased some item and been frustrated when we couldn't get that item to perform? And then we decided to read the instructions. And you know what? Our illustrious state of Illinois, so concerned about the well-being of our people. Now you have to go hands-free with the telephone, right? And you have to wear either a Bluetooth, because they say that speakerphone does not count for hands-free. And by the way, they will nail you. I don't know from personal experience, but somebody in the church does. $120 worth. In fact, they had a sting set up where this man was, and they gave like seven. They had seven cop cars out there, and seven people pulled over writing tickets for. Now, I'm so thankful that the city of Kankakee has so much under control that they have time to send the policeman out to look for people who are talking on the telephone. I mean, all the drugs are cleared up. It's an amazing thing. It's just... But anyway, I'm being facetious. But anyway. So, Pete and Leah gave me a Bluetooth so I wouldn't get tickets to $120. They gave me a Bluetooth. And I had hooked it up. I was using it, you know. Well, then I got a different phone. And I forgot it. Forgot about that. So I reached for my Bluetooth on the trip, stuck it in my ear, and it wasn't paired. And I tried to pair it. Stupid thing. So I didn't have a Bluetooth the whole trip. And last night, I sat down with the instructions. In about 60 seconds. Connected. I'm not lying. 60 seconds. Success. 60 seconds. And it was hooked up. Now, you know, hey. You got to get the directions. It works if you follow the directions. Realize the potential. Step out in obedience. Number three, we're done. Two more, we're done. Quickly. Three, have faith in God. Look at verse 32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. God said, hey, go in. It's yours. And they said, no, we don't. They didn't believe Him. Have faith in God. Again, If you're looking for a Christian life, if you're looking for eternity in heaven without the medium of faith, gotta go find it. Have faith in God. They didn't take, they took a negative approach. This won't work. I can't do this. God won't help me. Yes, He will. Have faith in God. God will do everything He promised. Realize the potential. Step out in obedience. Have faith in God. Number four, enter the land. Enter the land. Start enjoying the full Christian experience. He said, Pastor, if I realize the potential and step out in obedience and have faith in God, how long till I enjoy the full Christian experience? 11 days. Okay, this is the 3rd of August, so by the 14th, I'm there. Short time. Short time. Greg Payne just celebrated 32 years of being saved. 2 days ago. In my opinion, Brother Payne enjoys the full Christian experience. How long did it take you to get there? I don't know. Wasn't too long. Wasn't too long. Just jumped in, started serving. Just jumped in, started living for God. Read the instruction manual. Started following orders, you know. If I do this, okay. And people, this thing just, you know how Scripture just jumps off a page and just, that's what happened to me. Well, my heart's been burdened. And I thought about people in the church who I'm afraid, and I'm not trying to judge, but I'm a pastor, and that's a unique position. And I don't try to judge people. I can't see your heart. But just based on things I've noticed, picked up on it, just my heart began to be burdened for people who I'm afraid are wandering. I'm not being judgmental. I'm trying to be helpful. Away with it. Get into the promised land. Well, I won't have any more troubles. Oh, yes, you will. But they're a whole lot different when God's with you in the promised land. Boy, there's more I could preach, but I got to stop. Away with wandering. Get into the promised land. It's 11 days away, folks. Come on. That's all. Don't turn 11 days into 40 years. By the way, some of them died and never got into the promised land, including Moses. Father in heaven, would you please help us today? Speak to our hearts. I long for your Spirit to work in our hearts. Help us, please. Thank you, God, for all that you give us in salvation. Thank you for what you've done for us by sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, to be saved from the penalty of sin and hell. But, Lord, you desire so much more for us than that. Help us, I pray, to be done with wandering and get into the fullness of the Christian experience. Answered prayer, and Spirit fullness, and all that goes with it. Bless our people this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. A couple of questions for you. Just let you examine your heart before God. Are you wandering? Are you wandering from church service to church service, but there's this lack of fullness? Help only starts. Help is only available if we get honest. When we get honest, help is available. Pastor, that's what I feel like. I feel like I've been wandering. And God spoke to my heart this morning in a specific way. I want to be away with the wandering. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning wherever you're sitting? God bless you. Yes, yes. Somebody else? Yes, yes. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Amen. You may take them down. Somebody else? Anybody else? Include me in that prayer when you pray and close it out. I want to be done with wandering. All right? Now, maybe there's somebody here today that's not saved. Somebody that's not saved. You don't know that you're on your way to heaven. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. You have no time that you can recall that you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're not sure that you're saved. Is that you? That was me. Back in 1975. 39 years ago. The preacher gave me an opportunity at the close of the service to find out how to be saved, and I took it. I'm thankful I did. My. Talk about what Tony sang about a little while ago. You find Christ, when Christ comes to you and says, come on, and you accept His invitation and you get saved, you're going to find what you're looking for right there. If you're not saved this morning, all I'm saying is, look, we're going to have an invitation. Heads are going to be bowed. Eyes are going to be closed. I'd like to see you come forward this morning. Oh, my God, just come forward. So that's kind of radical. Well, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, it was pretty radical, too. That's pretty radical. He nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, stuck the spear up into his side, and put thorns on his brow. That's pretty radical. You've got to come and be saved this morning. Come to trust Christ. Come to be baptized. Take that first step. A full Christian experience is only 11 days away. It begins with after you get saved, with being baptized. If you're going to join the church, you've spoke to us about it, and we've talked with you about joining the church, take that step. Ask God, come and ask God to help you with victory over a particular sin in your life that's robbing you from God's blessing, fullness. Put some steps to you. Put some feet to your dream. Come and be saved. Make a step for Christ in some way or the other. That's the invitation this morning. Father, would you bless it this morning to our hearts? Help us to be obedient, to follow you and your will. I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. Would you come this morning? Would you raise your hand? Pastor, include me in that closing prayer. I pray for you. Would you come this morning? Would you come to be saved? Would you come to pray at the altar? Would you put some feet to your dream this morning? Would you put some steps to it? Would you begin the process right here, right now? I want the fullness of this Christian experience. We're not talking about a life without sin, not talking about a life apart from trouble or difficulty, but we are talking about a Spirit-filled, Spirit-anointed Christian life. Promised land. God wants us there. It's not far away. It's not far away. Would you come? Been wandering? Would you come this morning? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you need to be saved, come right down here and tell one of these fellows, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. Or what do I need to know about being saved? Or follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You come this morning. Obey the Lord. While we wait.